I'm Steve Kraske, and this is KCUR's Up to Date. For years, we've heard about quote-unquote needed changes for Kansas City International Airport. Many say a single terminal layout is vital, but some travelers love those big old horseshoes. Now, though, a plan is on the table that would pay for the switch with private money. Today, we'll discuss a new proposal from the engineering and architectural firm Burns & McDonnell to design, build, and finance the project. We'll ask where the money would come from, why private investors would fund it, and if Kansas Cityans could finally accept a new KCI. Later, we'll bring you this week's Local Listen. We'll get you up to date after this hour's news. A new plan has emerged to build a single terminal airport in Kansas City, and it's a plan with a Kansas City twist. Burns & McDonnell, one of Kansas City's best-known engineering firms, would build it and finance it. The idea is meant to spur construction of a new airport, which has been kicking around this town for at least 5 years. Today, we'll try to sort through this complicated deal, its pluses and minuses, and we'll try to figure out what it means for you. Here's a hint: slightly higher airline ticket prices. With us today to hopefully shed some light on all this are two members of the Kansas City Council, Jolie Justice, who chairs the Council's Airport Committee. Councilwoman, it's always nice to have you. Welcome back.
Good morning, Steve.
Teresa Lohr is also here. She's a Northlander who also serves on the Airport Committee. And Teresa, good to have you too. Good morning.
Thank you, Steve.
And hopefully here in a few minutes, Mike Telboy will join us. He's the Government Affairs Director for Burns & McDonnell. And just a reminder, I'm a member of the STARS Editorial Board, and the board has called for more details on this plan before proceeding here. Well, Councilwoman Justice, you heard you had the Airport Committee. Essentially, the deal is this: Burns & Mac would build the airport in exchange for the fees that normally would go to the city. Do I have that right?
It's pretty close. And as you might expect, there's nothing that's nothing simple when it comes to airport financing or airport building. But as you may remember, in April of last year, the airlines and the aviation department made a presentation to Councilwoman Lohr and I and the rest of the council relating to what their preferred alternative is. So they at that time said that they would prefer to see a new terminal and that they would like us to issue public debt, and they wanted to back that debt through the usage fees that you were talking about. We pressed pause in April of last year because we had heard from our constituents loud and clear that they wanted more information.
Yeah.
And we did that. They also said that they wanted us to address roads, bridges, and infrastructure, which is something the council got to work doing, and through the geo bond that was passed through the help of obviously all of our voters in Kansas City, we've started to go down that path. At the same time, the mayor asked the business community and the civic community to see if they could come up with some innovative ideas to address the issues out there. And that's when Burns and Mac stepped in. They came forward and said that they would like to, rather than have us issue the public debt that we had talked about, they would like to do the private financing in exchange for the exclusive right to do the design build of the project.
You know, we're talking here about fees that the city normally gets would then go to Burns and Mac to pay off this roughly $1 billion new airport terminal here. I'm wondering, what fees are we talking about? What fees are kicking around that would repay what Burns and Mac wants to do?
So it is it's a whole host of fees, actually. It is the passenger facility charge that goes on to all of airline tickets. It is the parking fees, and it's the concessions that are generated by folks who are out at the airport. So those are the fees that they're talking about that would be generated to pay back the private debt.
And that's real money.
That is real money. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Councilwoman Lohr, the newspaper has described you as skeptical about this deal, and I'm wondering why.
Well, first of all, Steve, I'd like to say Burns & Mac is absolutely a fabulous corporation here in Kansas City, and we're fortunate to have it. We are kind of a mecca for engineering firms here in Kansas City with Black & Veatch, HNTB, Olson & Associates. I mean, we just have a plethora of architectural and engineering firms here.
Right.
The only reason that, I guess the reason I'm so skeptical at this point is I don't know much about this plan. We got it on Friday. We were, yesterday asked to move on it this week, and the council just pushed back a little bit and said, let's wait a minute. We want to see what's going on here.
No question it's being fast-tracked. There's some time pressures here, right?
Absolutely. And I'm not sure if that was those dates were put forth by the city or by Burns and Mac. I don't know. And I think there are other concerns involved with Burns and Mac. I don't think it's just their firm. I think there are several entities involved in that, putting that financial package together.
So potentially you're suggesting then if you get enough information here, your questions are answered, theoretically you could be on board.
Well, I think, first of all, the city council wants to hire outside counsel to make sure that the citizens of Kansas City are protected because this is their asset. It belongs to KCMO. They built it in the beginning with Kansas City, Missouri bonds, some of them GO bonds, some of them revenue bonds, but the asset belongs to Kansas City. So, in fact, we want to make sure that they're protected.
Well, joining us now is Mike Talboy. He's the Government Affairs Director for Burns and Mac. He's just sitting down. And, Mike, welcome. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Mike, has a company like Burns, I'm going to get you going right away here, okay? You're just sitting
down.
Would
expect nothing else.
Yes. Has a company like Burns and Mac ever tried to do anything like this before across the country? Is this deal unique?
This deal is unique. It's not unique in the world. It is unique in the United States. But it is something that... to a smaller degree or to a smaller amount have been done. The IRS Service Center is an example that is very much the same type of mechanism. Obviously, that was with the federal government, not with the city. But there are, and I think that price tag all in was about $400 million. So there are comparable types of structures. But as far as for an airport, I don't know of any, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they've been done. They haven't been done like this, but to my knowledge, we haven't seen one like this in the U.S.
Why does Burns and Mac want to take this on? Because the newspaper has reported that instead of the usual rate of return on money being 6 or 8%, the rate of return here might only be 3%. I know that lots of things are still shifting around, but why does Burns and Mac want to do this?
Well, quite frankly, we looked at, we live here. We see what flights we're losing. We see the problems that are coming forward. We also understand we've been connected with this airport since the first shovel hit the dirt down there. Mm-hmm. We've been a partner with Kansas City, with the airport. We understand why people like that airport. We want to make sure that we take all of those conveniences and accessibility and make sure that we are keeping those, but also letting the city move forward and be able to take it the next step that it needs to do. Or that it needs to be taken at this point, because there is a concern, not just among us, but among many in the business community, among citizens, among other folks, that we are on the precipice of becoming, this worldwide gem of a city. Our front door isn't what it needs to be, and we're losing out because of that. And when you have people talk about trying to recruit businesses here, and rather that they would fly into Wheeler Airport rather than KCI because the first impression is so bad, and when you have airlines talking about the customer experience being so bad, that's an issue. But we understand that there are things that people love about this airport.
Right.
And we want to make sure that we take all of those things into consideration and do it, because it means a lot to not just our company, the city. We want to see the city thrive, so we're willing to take it on. That's what we've always done in this community since we've been a company here.
Councilwoman Justice Mike Talboy just said a couple of things here. One, first impressions of our airport as it exists today is pretty lousy. And two, that we're losing flights. We're actually losing flights at KCI because of the condition of the airport. Talk to us about that.
So let's talk a little bit about the flight issue, because that's something that comes up quite a bit in the public debate about KCI. And we have heard from both Southwest Airlines, which is our largest provider, and American Airlines that right now they cannot expand with the current configuration. That is a problem that they are having. And it's
but one of the horseshoes isn't even being used right now.
Absolutely.
Why couldn't it be used?
And here's why. Because right now we are trying to push 11 million people a year through a horseshoe that that is about 36 feet in width. And it is no longer possible to meet those needs that we have in modern airfare. I don't know if you remember this, but there's an amazing picture of the front page of the Kansas City Star on the day we opened KCI. And at the bottom, there was an article about a hijacking crisis that was happening in the United States.
You got to remember that.
And within the year, the FAA made the requirement that we separate ticketing from passaging. So ticketing from boarding. Mm-hmm. And so almost instantaneously when we opened KCI, we had to start making changes to the security of airports, and it's just changed ever since. And we are at a point now where when it comes to baggage, when it comes to security, when it comes to the modern conveniences that airport travelers demand, we can't do it in this geometry. It's not possible anymore.
And yet, Teresa Lohr, Kansas Cityans love the airport as it's laid out today.
Boy, they certainly do. And we hear that loud and clear on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. When Councilwoman Justice and I were campaigning for our seat this time, which was about 2.5 years ago, we campaigned probably 6-8 months. I don't know about her, but of course I live in the Northland right by the airport. So I was getting an earful every single day. Do not touch our airport. Don't change our airport. Don't let them tear down our airport. That said, I understand the business community. I understand the problems that are out there, that we do need some changes. I don't know what those changes are going to be, whether it's a brand new single terminal airport, whether it's major renovations, whether it's leave it alone. I don't know. But I will do what the taxpayers tell me to do because that's who I work for.
Councilwoman Lohr, is it possible to renovate the existing horseshoes today and make them what the business community wants them to be and make them what the federal government wants them to be in terms of safety and security for passengers and for everybody else?
Well, I feel it is, Steve, but we haven't explored that as a council. We haven't stepped out there to ask for anyone for those kind of schematics or our we haven't done any of that, so we don't really know.
And one of the tricks here, then, is that the debate now is focused on the Burns and McDonald plan. It's not being focused on renovating the current horseshoes or whatever.
Right.
The debate has changed.
That's correct. The debate has changed to we're now looking at financing, which I'm my only concern about this, other than making sure that the citizens of the city are protected, is how this deal is structured. And because it's not been done before, now I fully trust Burns and McDonald to do the right thing. I mean, this is their hometown. They're not going to screw it up. But, you know, they're in a business to make a profit, and I'm sure their partners are too. So that's where we have to make sure that this deal is right for everyone. We can't just, you know, willy-nilly throw it out and say, here, you take it.
Mike Talboy, just as you were coming in here, we were talking about this memorandum of understanding the council was working on yesterday. There's a deadline to get that memorandum signed off on, which is June 15th, just a few weeks from now. My question is that Burns and Mac deadline or is it the city's deadline? And what's the rush?
Well, part of it is that you need to be able to make sure that you have a maximum guaranteed price so that the council can understand if they're going to take something to the ballot in November, what that looks like, what the price is, if the project's doable for the price that we think it's doable for. And as laid out by, you know, we've had 5 years of conversation and commissions and community and participation, the council's participation, two councils now participating in it, about what people wanted to see, what that would approximately cost. I believe the number is $965,000.
A billion, roughly.
Yeah, roughly a billion. But the last thing we would want to do is say, put this in, we'll go ahead and do it. By the time you get to the having to push the button on going to the ballot or not in November, that we come back and say, oh, yeah, by the way, we realize it's August 22nd and you have to have it done by the 24th, but it's going to be a billion two instead of a billion. We want to make sure that we are giving the maximum guaranteed price that is correct, that is there, and that the pricing is done with the most accuracy possible for the council.
So is that June 15th deadline your deadline or the city's deadline?
I believe it's a mutually agreed upon deadline, but I will definitely check.
the fast-tracking aspect of this, to what extent is that unsettling council members, Councilwoman Justice?
Well, and I want to back it up because I agree with Councilwoman Lohr that we have a lot of questions to ask. Without question, I fully support and I'm excited about the fact that we're issuing an RFP to make sure that we have outside counsel come in and look at this, because we need to make sure that this is the best deal for Kansas City. It is obviously an intriguing and wonderful idea that has been presented to us, but let's make sure it's good for us. Let's make sure it's a good business deal. We also have a series of public hearings where we as a council are going to, and Mike, I don't know if you'll be the one on the hot seat, but I mean, we're going to have a lot of questions for Burns and McDonald. I think it's incredibly important that we vet this and make sure that we're doing the right thing. Over that period of time, we will be able to see whether we're going to be able to make that June 15th deadline. My preference would be that. Why? Because we want to put this in front of a vote of the people. And to get it on the ballot in November, which would be my preference, that's what I'm pushing for, we have to have the ballot language prepared by August the 24th of this year. Now, I don't want to ask the council to come up with ballot language if we don't know what the proposal or the plan looks like. And so the reason that we are asking for an accelerated review date up front on this term sheet or memorandum of understanding is so that they can go out and find out if this is something that they can afford to do, and then we will have time to say, you know what, we don't like this, we do like that, and give us time to vet it over the course of the summer, also take it to the community and find out what they want.
But still, this memorandum of understanding, if it's signed off on June 15th, that will give Burns and Mac exclusive rights to proceed here in lieu of any other engineering firm in the city.
It will give them exclusive rights to explore a design
that's
build
just
finance.
3.5 weeks from now. That's a lot of, we're biting a big bite of the apple here pretty quickly.
And that's why I am excited that we are going to have multiple committee hearings and we're going to be able to really tear into this and make sure that we have outside counsel tear into it as well.
If our listeners have questions about this new airport, the new terminal for KCI, 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR, up to date. Councilwoman Lohr, one of the big questions here is why this process isn't being opened up to competitive bid. I know you have concerns about that. I've read them in the paper. What about that?
Well, all of my years in government and the private sector, when constructing anything, particularly in the public sector, you bid on projects because that's the fair way of doing business. And this would be a major, major shift in how the city does business, how the federal government does business, how the state does business.
Well, Mike just pointed out it's happened before in this town with the Social Security building.
Well,
across from Union Station, right, Mike?
IRS building.
IRS building, yeah. IRS, Social Security, all the same thing, yeah.
Well, being on the ground with my constituents, i.e. all of the engineering firms and all of the other businesses that would be involved in this, you know, they're screaming foul because they feel like they will be excluded. Now, I don't think that will happen with Burns and McDonald, but I can understand their concern because this is a big city. They pay their taxes, too. So why wouldn't they have a bite at the apple on the biggest project, capital project, that would be going on in this city?
The biggest in city history, perhaps.
Absolutely.
And so one of the big policy questions that you two have to wrestle with on the council is whether you're going to give Burns and Mac exclusive rights here or whether you're going to say, hey, hold on, we're going to slow down and open this thing up to bid, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Let's go to Deborah from Lawrence. Deborah, you're on Up to Date.
Hi, I just want to tell everybody that I was previously a fan of the current configuration of KCI. We love it like everybody else. However, I recently watched a series on PBS called A City in the Sky. After viewing that series, especially the episode about ground services relative to airports and the security apparatus as it exists today, I was completely convinced that we need a new airport. And I think it might behoove some PR people to have some people who are involved in the decision-making, as well as the voters, view this PBS series, especially that one episode.
I appreciate your comments, Deborah. Do you get a sense, Councilwoman Justice, that people are coming around on this idea that, hey, the horseshoes are as old as they are and maybe it's time for something new.
As much
as we love them, nonetheless.
I do, Steve. And here's why. Councilwoman Laura is correct. When we were running for city council, we would hear from folks every day. When I would go to work at my law firm, I'd be on the elevator, and people would say, don't mess with my airport. Don't touch my airport. This is anecdotal, of course, Steve, but I feel the tide turning, and here's why. Number one, I am hearing more and more from folks who are saying, look, I get it now. When I fly in and have a layover in Dallas or in Charlotte or other places, I have things there like restrooms and places to eat and drink and sit and relax, and we don't have that, and we need those things. So anecdotally, they're starting to say that. But even more than that, we are starting to hear, it was interesting, when the mayor pressed pause on the conversation last April, part of my district is in Clay County, and once a quarter I am in Clay County having neighborhood meetings. And at the very beginning of my term of service, the folks in Clay County were up in arms saying, don't touch my airport. When the mayor pressed pause, they were equally angry that we were pressing pause.
Right?
And that's just the discussion, and we'll have to continue to have those conversations, because you are right. People love or hate this airport, and we need to continue to have these conversations and make sure that all of the questions are answered.
Councilwoman Lord, do you agree with your colleague here? Is the conversation about the airport changing, or are you sensing something different out there?
No, I think Kansas City is. I do think it's changing. I don't think everybody's accepted it, because we're going to have a lot of local travelers who use the airport not as often as the business traveler. And, you know, they're never going to change. They love their convenience of their airport. But and I do understand that. However, I think from a security standpoint and a lot of other aspects that we either need, which could be changed by major renovations or a new airport. Now, one question I had, particularly with the Burns and McDonald plan, is what if we do this MOU, do all of this work, we put it on the ballot in November and people vote no? So then where are we? I mean,
the mayor said, to use his words, we're screwed at that point.
Well, but that's Burns and Mac has an MOU to move forward.
And we obviously aren't going to put the council in a position to do something against the will of the voters after they've spoken in November. So if we need to make a clause that says, it's contingent upon moving
passage
forward, that's fine too. We're completely open to that. And obviously we put the document forward thinking it was contingent upon the dates after November being contingent upon a November election being successful. But if that language, that's easy. We're not going to ask the duly elected officials to go against the will of the voters after they've just spoken.
Well, no shock here. Lots of people have questions about this proposal. Let's get one more call before our break. Let's go to Rick from Kansas City, Missouri. Rick, you're on Up to Date.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I'm in favor of updating the airport. I don't think that's, I think these are two separate arguments, whether to update it and then how to go about that.
Right.
I'm not automatically opposed to the Burns and Mac proposal, but I've been in contracting for over 16 years and as a sales rep preparing bids for all of that time. And GMP pricing just means that that's a price not to exceed. It does not necessarily mean it's a competitive price, regardless of how this is being paid for. When you say the city's not paying for it, well, Burns and Mac will get revenues that the city would otherwise get to pay them over this 30 plus whatever it is year lease. You still need to know, without a competitive bid process, you have no idea of knowing if that's a good price or not. If that's a competitive, most bang for your buck price, and this is a public entity, even if it's not public funds up front. So with all due respect to Burns and Mac, they're a fine firm. We need a competitive bid process like on this, like we would have on any large public works project.
Rick,
I as a sales rep, if I was given the choice to do a GMP price on a project, I would be very happy about that, that I was able to negotiate that, because the profit I would be able to build in that for my firm, which was my job to do, would probably be quite good compared to a competitive bid process. And I was never allowed to do that on a public works project. This is
Rick, I appreciate that. And let me get Mike Talboy to respond to you from Burns and Mac. And, you know, there was some discussion yesterday with the council, Mike. There's the maximum bid you're talking about here. There's also a question about, is there a guarantee you would spend at least at so many dollars, a minimum number that would be out there as well?
And yeah, I mean, that's what the whole thing's based upon is that figure. And we want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to stay within that figure that was set forth by the – I don't think it was ever presented to council, but get me right on this. It was between the airlines and the airport on – I think it's always referred to as Exhibit L?
Yes.
Okay. and that is what most of the money and the figures that are put forward are based upon. The other thing that we – want to also, you know, make sure of is cost overruns and that, and we are putting our balance sheet up for making sure that those are taken care of. So
how would you feel about a competitive bid process?
I think that, you know, we had that discussion. We were part of the discussion when they were moving forward with that plan before they hit pause. We were totally open to the idea that would go that way.
But right now?
Right now, we're putting equity into the deal, and we think that this is a deal that we think would be something that can move forward and does that. And I don't think that opening this back up to a competitive bid, now that our numbers are out there and different things, that those are for people besides me to decide, but I think that this is a really good plan that we've put forward.
So you wouldn't like it then to go out and bid competitively at this point?
I mean, if we have to scrap this and go to a different type of thing, it's unfortunate because I think this plan is something that can move forward and get us moving in November. But if the city decides that they want to go in a different direction, we're still the number three ranked Engineering News Record aviation design and build firm that is in the United States. So I will put our expertise and our folks doing the work here, because they are your friends and neighbors. They are here. This isn't a company where we have a storefront here. This
right.
isn't a company of anything like that. We are part of the community, and we understand what the community has told not only us, but the council and everybody else about what they want to see in an airport. But we also have the experience to get that job done and done with the best way for the least amount of cost.
I'm late on a break. Let's take one now. When we come back, we'll talk about what this new terminal would look like. We'll talk about the reaction from the airlines. We'll get phone calls here, hopefully from Sharon, Paul, Judy, and Ed. I'm Steve Kraske, and you're listening to Up to Date on 89.3 KCUR. And we're back. I'm Steve Kraske. Yesterday, a wartime photographer revealed what keeps her going back to the battlefield. Also, we heard the history behind baseball's most crucial skill. That's the pitch. Find those conversations at kcur.org/up-to-date and also on the NPR One app. On tomorrow's program, finding vacant office space in downtown Kansas City, Missouri is getting tougher. We'll find out why tomorrow on KCUR's Up to Date. Well, this hour we're talking about the new KCI, the new proposal for a terminal that Burns and Mac has put forward. The city council is wrestling with it. We're taking your phone calls and questions at 816-235-2888. We're visiting with two members of the Kansas City, Missouri City Council. They are Jolie Justice and Teresa Lohr. And Mike Talboy, he's the government affairs director for Burns and McDonnell. Again, our number, 816-235-2888. Mike, what would this new terminal look like, and what amenities would it have that the present airport does not?
Well, the Exhibit L...
The famous Exhibit L. I'm hearing a lot about Exhibit L here today.
Well, you know, the airlines and the airport and, you know, everybody had a lot of input on what... was acceptable for everybody, for not only the air traffic, but how to get planes in and out and passengers moving once they hit the from getting off the airplane, that kind of thing. So the basic structure still is in that same type of footprint. The idea of amenities and the accessibility and all of the different aspects of that, we are not even close to getting getting to as far as that goes. There are
Not that far along yet.
Yeah, well, there are, I mean, some of the stuff we're doing at risk already, which, you know, if the council sees that this is, they want to go in a different direction, you know, we think it's worth the investment, our commitment to the city being as long term as it is. It's something we're willing to do. But that, you know, the idea that we have these listening tours going on, we have 5 years of input from the various public entities, the commissions, and just the myriad of different avenues that I think people have weighed in on what they want to see in the airport and how what they like and what they don't like. I think being able to take all that into consideration before we are putting a lot of those things out there. I mean, there are certain things you basically have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things we're working on. Those are the things that we're trying to make sure of. But we want to make, again, we want to make sure that when our folks are at the grocery store, that they don't have these people come up and say, "Well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this?"
Well, can you
we want to make sure that this is an airport that Kansas City is proud of, that our neighbors are proud of, and that works for them.
Can you replicate the convenience of the Three Horseshoes, or in this modern day, is that simply impossible, Mike?
No, I think that you can replicate a lot of the convenient aspects. I think there are, in some ways, you can make things more convenient. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on what time you fly, you may be in line in security for a lot longer than you would at other airports. There are times when you fly where you may be the only person walking through security.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that experience at other airports. Everybody has that experience. But I think that there are a lot of things that have been replicated at other airports. We are doing huge projects at LaGuardia and LAX and JFK, and we're doing a bunch of different things, and we have done a bunch of different airports, and that's what we're trying to make sure we get is all of those inputs to make sure that all of that convenience factor is maintained for the citizens. And I think we are uniquely equipped to be able to do that.
Right. Let's go back to some calls here. Judy from Lee Summit. Judy, you're on the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My husband and I think that walking into our airport is like walking into a tomb.
Hmm.
It's dark. It's not terribly clean. Trying to find a restaurant, trying to find someplace to shop is not, you know, it's not huge for somebody who lives here, but it's a horrible impression on someone who has a 2-hour layover.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to sit out in the hallway or whatever. It's just, it needs to go. It really does. And I bet you that Burns and Mac can do a great job.
Okay. Judy, thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Sharon from Kansas City, Missouri. Sharon, you're on the show.
Hi, and thank you.
You bet.
This has to do with the fees that are allegedly going to be collected, and instead of coming back to the city, will be turned over to cover costs. What happens if those fees do not meet the expectation? Projections for 35 years is pretty far out there, and shopping at an airport is probably really not that productive in terms of revenue.
Yeah, it's
like
great
to hear what they have to say.
Great question, Sharon. Let's go to Councilwoman Justice for that, because the airport, to piggyback on Sharon's point, the airport spun off about $58 million last year to cover debt service, but Mike and Burns and Mac would need about $85 million a year to, if I understand right, to cover construction costs. How do you get there?
And so one of the things that I need to make sure that folks understand is that the debt will be repaid through a lease agreement with the airlines. So if the airlines come up short, it's coming out of their pockets.
Oh, okay.
If the amount comes up short, it comes out of their pockets. That's how airlines pay for airports. And that's why, as we've had this conversation, the really critical piece that came out in this 6-year conversation that we've had as a community is on April 21st of last year, when the airline said, we have looked at this for 2 years now with the aviation department. We have looked at the issues of convenience and affordability. And because it's ultimately coming out of their checkbooks, they determined that they wanted a new terminal.
Well, how can Southwest be so sure, as Sharon points out, that 35 years down the road, they'll still be in business?
So, well, and the thing is the way that airports are financed, airport terminals are financed, is all of the airlines have to come to agreement on this, because if one airline goes out of the business, all the rest of them have to pick up the slack. That's how the lease agreements are drafted with airport authorities and cities. So really, they have a vested interest in making sure that it is the best experience possible for their customers, because they want to make sure that they're making enough money to make all their lease payments across the country.
So bottom line, Kansas City taxpayers would not be on the hook if an airline pulls out or business crumbles out there.
No, they would not.
Okay. Let's keep going here. Let's go to Ed from Miriam. Ed, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning. My concern is that for the people that live outside the city limits of Kansas City, Missouri, that we will not have a voice at the ballot box in November. Could someone comment on that, please?
Teresa Lord, that's guaranteed, right? There's going to be a vote because the mayor's promised a vote based on past pledges that have been made here.
That's correct. And I don't think you would find anyone on the council that would want to circumvent a vote. This asset belongs to Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City taxpayers built it. The land out there is Kansas City land. So we would be the final say, the citizens.
If you don't have a vote in November, in theory, mm-hmm. you could mm-hmm. have one in April or June of next year then, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so November, the world may not end in November if there's not a vote.
Right. And I would ask the man of Miriam to consider moving to Kansas City, Missouri.
Ed, like come on over.
Well, I already did. I did the switch 15 years ago.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Ed. Appreciate it. We have a Twitter thread asking right now if the city will look to improve public transportation up to the airport. What about that, either one of you?
We need to continue that conversation. Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest problems that we have right now, in addition to the experience once you are there and the landside or the airside operations, is getting people to and from KCI. Without question, we have to have that conversation. And so I'm excited that we are in ongoing conversations with the KCATA to talk about improvements there. I will tell you that one of the things we've talked about is if this moves forward, we need on the short term to make sure that we are getting folks to jobs at KCI. Hmm. There right now is no easy way to take public transportation to that airport, and we need to address that.
Can Burns and Mac, Mike Talboy, add a little public transportation component to what you're trying to do?
Obviously, we're open to listening to anything that we can do to improve what goes on and how people can get to the airport. And we're examining everything that we can do to do that. And that is a conversation that has been brought up. And, you know,
I was being facetious, but
yeah,
we're actually
taking a look at how we can partner with folks to get people that want to work to where the jobs are. And that's something that we will continue to take a look at and figure out how we can partner up to make sure that it gets done. The other thing, you know, getting back to the the developer question is, you know, when developers pick their builder, then they usually go out and do the bids to the trades. I mean, this is really no different. And our CEO, Ray Kowalik, when he was standing out there at the press conference, committed, and he will commit again to the council, and he will commit again a million times. This is a Kansas City project. We are a Kansas City company. We want to have Kansas City team and Kansas City representation at all levels of this project, and we are committed to doing that.
Katie sent us this question by Twitter. What if Burns and Mac puts forward a bad design? Is there a way to force redesign? Who gets to decide that? Teresa?
I have no idea. It wasn't addressed in the MOU.
What about a bad design, Mike?
No, I mean, if in the MOU, it does
the memorandum of understanding.
It does discuss the, you know, how all the things are financed, but ultimately, the airport, the airlines, and the city and us have to agree on how to move forward on this project, and that's going to be something that again, you have a safeguard on two levels. One, we're willing to make sure that we have sign off, but you know, and that's been discussed in the in the documents. But the other part is we're not going to build something that people don't want and think is, I mean, I know that this was brought up that somebody said, oh, well, they could build something that was cheap and ugly.
Right.
We're not going to do that because we are here. We don't go away once that airport's designed and once that airport's built. We have grown here. We have expanded here. We just expanded here. We are trying to get people to come to Kansas City and create jobs for those people in Kansas City. The last thing we're going to do is, you know, put something up that diminishes that reputation that we have and that we have to put people in front of,
right,
in front of people that don't like the airport.
Councilwoman Justice, you know, one of the questions we're getting here is the fact that under the new single terminal plan, there will actually be fewer gates than the airport has today. Tell me by how much and why is that?
So, and what we need to make sure that everybody understands is this idea that is now being circulated really has to do with the finance piece, because they are basing all of their discussions about potential design and potential size on the two-year conversation that the airlines had with the aviation department that resulted in a public presentation on April 21st of last year, where the airlines said, okay, we have looked at all of these different designs, and here's what we think we need.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we are doing now is we're having a conversation to make sure that we get exactly what we need. And so we are building on that momentum, and we plan to take that before the council and continue to move forward.
How many gates are you looking at now?
So we are looking at, thank you, we are looking at 35 gates right now, with an additional 4 gates, is my understanding, that would be available as what they call city gates. City gates are important because sometimes you might have a plane that needs to make an emergency landing from somewhere else. You might need to take in a charter flight that you weren't expecting. It gives you a little bit more flexibility for additional international flights, but we're looking at 35 gates right
now. Today, the airport has how many gates?
You know, I am not sure of the exact number, but I believe it's 46 or 47.
I mean, if the idea here is hopefully to attract more flights, how does that square?
Well, one of the problems that the airlines have with our existing configuration is the ability to get planes out efficiently, in and out of the airport efficiently.
Because of the horseshoes.
Because of the horseshoes. And it's just because planes have changed over the years that... The recent trend is that planes are getting bigger, and that's after the trend where planes were getting smaller. So it's interesting how this has happened. But right now, because of a number of passengers that we're pushing through, they believe that 35 is the right size, and that's looking at continued growth over the next 30 years.
Okay, back to some calls here. Let's go to Sal from Gladstone as we talk about the new proposal for a new single terminal design up at Kansas City International Airport. Sal, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm a proud Missourian, first of all, and I'm not comfortable with the idea of Governor Brombeck proposing to have an airport built out in the Olathe area. So what are we going to do to make sure this doesn't come to pass?
Okay. What about the idea? Would Southwest or other airlines consider building out in Olathe at the airport there if this doesn't happen, Teresa?
Well, I think that's highly unlikely. Number one, building an airport is a very expensive investment. We're talking billions, and I don't think the state of Kansas has that kind of revenue to kind of throw around right now.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all,
you think?
Yeah. When you can't keep the schools open, you're probably not going to build an international airport. Number two, the FAA has to get involved, and the federal government, they regulate these airports. They wouldn't put another commercial airport. Their density isn't big enough for that. Number three, you have a congressional contingency in Missouri that would, I think, would put up quite a fight to lose our airport.
Okay. One more quick call here from Jordan from Liberty. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning.
Go quickly, yeah, if you would, Jordan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The gates. For security and everything, is it going to be just a one gate to get everybody through security, or is it going to be multiple like they have right now? Because that's very fast.
Yeah.
In and out of there, you know, and I've flown over 500 times.
Jordan, I got to scoot here. Mike, one security checkpoint or more than that?
No, I think it'll be multiple points of entry. They may all be in a center area or something like that, but there will be multiple places for people to get through.
Well, folks, we covered a whole lot of ground here. I want to thank you for a very good conversation today. Mike Talboy with Burns & Mack and two members of our city council, Jolie Justice and Teresa Lohr. Thanks for a good conversation, guys. We did good.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
Coming up, Bill Brownlee in this week's Local Listen. KCR contributor Bill Brownlee is back with this week's Local Listen. And Bill, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
You've been on the road, man. You've been traveling.
I sure have.
Not a bad thing. You want to talk about Julian Vaughn.
Smooth jazz isn't dead, Steve. It's just in hiding.
You think? I'm glad to hear you say that. Here's Julian Vaughn. This is Bonafide from the forthcoming album Bonafide. And that's Julian Vaughn. You know, Bill, I know some folks don't like that smooth jazz idea, so I'll say this is a nice blend of funky pop, R&B, and maybe some jazz. What do you like about it?
There's as much going on as you like, but it you can use it as the traditional hot tub music if you like.
Now, Vaughn is playing this weekend at a benefit for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, but it's not at the museum?
It's across the street at the Gem Theater.
Hmm.
And it's a billed as Jazz and Jackie, a monarch salute to Jackie Robinson.
Ah.
And Julian Vaughn will be joined on the bill by the former New York Yankees player Bernie Williams.
Who's a great player for them.
And he's also a great smooth jazz guitarist.
That's right. Bernie Williams, a five-time Major League Baseball All-Star. That's not too bad. This is Julian Vaughn's fifth album, so he's been around the block here a little bit.
He has, and he... Even though, you know, straight-ahead jazz guys don't like to talk about it, Julian Vaughn may or may not be the single most popular jazz artist who hails from Kansas City.
How does smooth jazz sort of compete with traditional jazz in terms of audience and album sales? My sense always is smooth jazz does a little better.
It does a lot better. You know, yeah. this is the music of the people, and Julian's numbers are a lot better than... the straight-ahead mainstream jazz players.
What do you make of that?
This is what the people like. You know, there's an R&B component to this. There's a soul component. You can use it however you like. Sometimes, especially in difficult times, people just want to relax, and Julian Vaughn certainly helps people do that.
Do you listen to smooth jazz very much?
From time to time, I'll put it on just when I need a break.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I don't want to be challenged. Sometimes I want to let the music do the work for me. And certainly artists like Julian Vaughn provide that.
Again, Julian Vaughn performs at the Gem Theater on Saturday. That's this coming Saturday, May 20th, right?
That's correct.
Always good to have you here, Bill. Thanks very much.
Glad to be here.
You bet. You can download our podcast. You can listen to previous programs. Just go to kcur.org/uptodate. Follow us on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. You can follow me at Steve Kraske, and don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook. On tomorrow's program, what developers are doing that's making it harder to find good office space in downtown Kansas City. That's a big change from what it's been. Our program is produced by Danny Alexander, Luke Martin, and Coy Duggar. I'm Steve Kraske, and you are up to date.